This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer. Plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Welcome back to At Your Service on KMOX. I'm Scott Jagel, hosting tonight, and we've been having a good time talking to people from the community so far. We're talking to Carrie Carlson, who's a nurse at SLU, and now we're going to shift gears a little bit and talk a little bit of sports. Coming up, we'll have the host of a podcast named Ear Witness, which is an incredible story, very infuriating. That's coming up in a few minutes, but you'll want to hear it, I promise. Let's get back to Carrie. Let's start with soccer, though, because City SC just ended its season in a very disappointing fashion. The season was remarkable. That was not disappointing. But the end was they kind of ran into the hottest team in MLS in Kansas City, who started the season not winning a game in their first 10.
Yes.
But at the end of the season, they were on fire.
They were.
What did you see when you watched the game? Games?
Well, the first game, I'll say I didn't understand the lineup. I think he rolled out with one forward, which I don't think they've done the entire year. So that was kind of mind-boggling. I'm not really sure why they did that. I just think all around, they kind of just looked sloppy. I've never thought their defense, especially the right side, is very strong. I think they definitely need to go out and strengthen that in the offseason. And I think, Roman Berkey, goalie of the year. But you do think, my God, did we won a ton of games probably because of him.
Exactly.
And that may be almost kind of embellish maybe what we really were.
Hiding the flaws.
Exactly.
I mean, he made amazing saves that in some games probably gave City the tie or the win. And then, he gives up four in the first playoff game because you just can't put all the pressure on him. And playoff soccer is different than regular season soccer.
Exactly. Yeah, and they weren't playing really good soccer toward the end, too. So that was they lost four in a row when it all said and done. They lost their two final games and then got swept.
I think the expectations were too high based on the early start to this season.
Mm-hmm.
And as it went along, you start dreaming about MLS Cup. you know?
Yeah.
And it comes back to reality, which an expansion franchise, it happens. It happens in other sports, but it's rare to have a team do what this team did and then also go all the way to the finals.
Exactly. I kind of knew it was probably never going to happen. But as you said, exciting season. I mean, a little disappointed, but I mean, at the same time, you kind of can't be. But yeah, to go out like that kind of stunk.
All right. So the Cardinals, on the other hand, had a terrible season.
Horrible.
One of their worst ever. And it doesn't happen very often. And, you know, fans are expecting things to be back to normal next year, in quotes. What do you think the team needs to do? And what is your expectation for next year?
My expectation is they'll probably go and sign like Pete Cosma. That's what I'm thinking. Because, I mean, that's what they'll do. No, but for real. Obviously, starting pitching. I mean, we knew that going into last year. And, you know, what they say, we have six starting pitchers. No, we didn't. I mean, we were not good. I mean, bringing Wainwright back, I love him, but I don't think that was a great idea. So, yeah, I mean, you have to get an ace. We didn't have an ace last year. I mean, I know they're looking at Nola from, you know, the Phillies, or Blake Snell. And then looking at guys like Sonny Gray, maybe even Waka, bring him back. But you need an ace, and then you need definitely another solid number two and number three. And we'll see. I don't know what they're going to do, and they're going to have to open up the wallet, that's for sure.
Yeah, they kind of should be looking at the Philadelphia Phillies as a model for what you can do.
I agree.
Yeah, and the Texas Rangers maybe as well. Of course, they won the World Series, so you got to look at their model.
They spent a lot of money.
What did they do right? Yeah, they spent a lot of money.
And great starting pitching. I mean, and good for Jordan Montgomery to be sent over there, and, I mean, he was their stud.
Yeah. Well, a couple of former Cardinals were very key in the playoffs this year.
They were.
That tends to happen, though, in any sport. You know, free agency and just the way the business goes, you're not going to be able to keep every single player, and you're not always going to be able to identify at the time how good that player could be.
That's been a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Garcia on the Rangers, but, you know, the Rangers also DFA'd him and then picked him back up. So, I mean, I just don't know how that even works. How you can be DFA'd and then you're a absolute stud. It's just strange.
New England gets a ton of credit for drafting Tom Brady in the sixth round. Not to mention they passed on him five times that year.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
sometimes you just luck into it.
Absolutely.
It's not like they picked him with their first round pick.
Exactly. It is. Yeah. Look at Brock Purdy.
And you do fantasy football, right?
I do.
You're big into it.
I am. It consumes me. It's ridiculous.
How does it consume you?
Oh, I'm always on my phone, checking on Twitter, X, you know, asking for, who should I start? I mean, it's crazy. I started off horrible, 1-5. I'm 4-5 now. I'm going on a streak, so we'll see. I had a draft, was A+, and then my team just fell apart.
Who is your star or stars?
Here's the thing. I have Garrett Wilson. Aaron Rodgers goes down in the... I mean, so that just destroyed my value. I had Justin Fields, who I thought was just going to rock it out, and he had the two games, and he got hurt.
Yeah.
So I actually picked up C.J. Stroud probably...
Well, that was a good
probably
decision.
About 3 weeks into the season, because I was like, this kid's
He's
doing
been
something.
Really good.
He gave me 54 points last week. Yeah. I have it, Jamar Chase, Saquon Barkley, but now you got... You know, Danny DeVito quarterbacking I'm like, oh God, here we go. So yeah, it's just been, you know, just, and that's fantasy football. It is a lot of luck.
It is. And the NFL this year, two things that have stood out to me is injuries.
Yes.
A lot of injuries.
Huge.
And the refereeing.
Awful.
It has been, I try not to complain about the refs. I mean, I'm a diehard Buffalo Bills fan. I have a lot to complain about most seasons. But the refs are one thing I try not to. This year, it has been impossible not to notice every game, not just the Bills games, every single game. They're just throwing flags almost every play. It's unwatchable.
It is. And that stinks that the human error can make that big of an impact on a game. I mean, it does. And I always think that's your job. There has to be some sort of...
Accountability.
Fine them. Yes. You know, I mean, there has to be something.
I don't get why the NFL is letting this happen, honestly.
I agree. It's same with anything. I think baseball, they're horrible too. I mean, but yes, NFL is beyond.
And the one thing that the NFL, I don't understand this either, in embracing the technology that's available. Soccer is one sport internationally that has embraced the technology where they have the chip in the ball and you know exactly where it was. They show you a virtual image and you can tell if it went in the goal or not.
Yeah.
The referees in NFL are still walking when there's a punt. They're walking with their arm up and stopping where they think the ball went out of bounds.
Yeah, that's
put
a great
a chip in the ball.
That's a great point. Yeah. Or yeah, spotting it,
yes,
you know,
again,
and then putting the index card,
right.
You know, yeah, oh, you're short. Yeah, I mean, it's yeah, you're spot on. I don't know why they don't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Kerry Carlson, thanks so much for being on with me and sharing your story and talking about nursing and, of course, fantasy football.
Oh, yes. Well, thank you for having me. I really do appreciate it.
Yeah. I met Kerry at a restaurant recently, and she said she loves radio and thinks she could do it, and she can. She just did a great job, so I'm glad to have her on. Next, we are going to talk to the host of a podcast. She's an investigative reporter from Alabama who has spent 4 years on this case involving a man who is still on death row after 25 years, and the evidence is overwhelming that he's innocent. But so far, he has not been able to get off death row. We're going to hear the whole story coming up next. You won't want to miss it. This is At Your Service on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Delve into the criminal justice system through the lens of one very disturbing case. It's the subject of a new podcast called Ear Witness. It involves the 1995 murder of Sheriff's Deputy William Hardy behind a hotel in Birmingham, Alabama. Police zeroed in on a man named Taforest Johnson as the shooter, despite at least 10 people saying he was somewhere else at the time. On top of that, Johnson was convicted solely through the testimony of an ear witness who has lost all credibility since then. Joining me now is investigative reporter Beth Shelburne, the host of the podcast. Beth, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Before we get into the case, tell me a little bit about yourself, about your background.
I spent 20 years working as a television reporter, an anchor, in six different local markets around the country. I'm originally from Birmingham and moved back home to work for WBRC in 2010. I left traditional media in 2019 to pursue stories like the one I tell in the Ear Witness podcast, but I began covering the case of Taforest Johnson at the tail end of my TV news career in 2019.
So that's how it came to your attention?
That's right. Yeah, I was assigned to cover a hearing in Jefferson County Court on one of Taforest's appeals that dealt with this reward payment to the key witness, the ear witness, and that reward payment was not disclosed by the state for 17 years. She was paid $5,000 for her testimony after Taforest was convicted, but his attorneys were never told about it. He wasn't told about it. And most importantly, the jury did not know that there was a reward on the table.
I'm sure you've covered a lot of cases or read about a lot of cases, listened to podcasts about cases. I have. What made this case stand out to you?
Well, the case of Taforest Johnson would be a comedy if it wasn't so sad. There are so many outrageous aspects to his conviction, starting from really the first day of the investigation all the way up until today. And sometimes a wrongful conviction can involve one or two really dubious actions that were taken by state actors or a witness that lied and ended up recanting. But this case is really just the most appalling set of dubious steps that I've ever seen. And I felt like it needed the time and space to really unwind, to show listeners that this is how an innocent person ends up getting convicted for capital murder. Kind of taking in through all the twists and turns, step by step by painful step.
Yeah, let's go through some of these rotten parts of the case. Let's start with the fact that there are so many people who put Taforest somewhere else at the time of the murder, yet police believed the 15-year-old girl who was questioned dozens of times and constantly changed her story and later admitted she lied the whole time. So why did they focus so much on Yolanda Chambers?
Yeah, Yolanda Chambers was this troubled 15-year-old girl whose mother called police and told them her daughter had information about the murder. Yolanda did not want to talk to police, but she got sucked up into this investigation where police used this tactic over and over again with suspects and with witnesses, telling them you can be a witness or you can be a defendant. If you're a witness, you give us information about the crime. If you're a defendant, that means you're going to jail and we're charging you with a crime. So it's really kind of a Sophie's choice that these detectives were presenting. And to a 15-year-old girl who was already estranged from her mother, living on the streets, in and out of foster care, really had been through quite a bit of trauma, to be faced with a choice like that and surrounded by a room full of detectives who are threatening to put you in jail if you don't tell them something useful, you can see how she was just ripe for coercion and really to be bullied by these investigators. As you mentioned, Yolanda Chambers did eventually recant her testimony on the stand and told the judge that she had made everything up and had changed her story over and over again because she was scared, because police were threatening to put her in jail. But incredibly, the judge, despite that recantation, allowed the case to continue, and ultimately Taforest Johnson was sentenced to death.
That is Beth Shelburne. She is the host and lead investigator of the podcast Ear Witness, about a man who's been on death row in Alabama for 25 years for a murder he did not commit. And up next, you're going to hear from the lead investigator on the case. He is one of the most infuriating people I've ever listened to. So if you have blood pressure, maybe, you know, take a pill or something. That is coming up next at your service on KMOX. Welcome back to At Your Service. Good Tuesday evening. I'm Scott Jagow. We are talking with Beth Shelburne. She is the host and lead investigator of this podcast called Ear Witness. It's about a man who is on death row in Alabama. He's been there for 25 years for a murder of a sheriff's deputy. He did not commit the crime. The only thing that convicted him was the testimony of a woman named Violet Ellison, who it turns out was paid for her testimony and has been a professional witness during her life. So, Beth, tell me about Violet Ellison.
Violet Ellison is called an ear witness because the testimony that she provided was about something she claims she overheard. An ear witness is like an eyewitness, but they hear something. Typically, a witness claiming to overhear someone saying something is not admissible. It's considered hearsay. Unless that witness claims to overhear a confession to a crime. And that's what Violet Ellison claimed, that she eavesdropped on a three-way phone call between Tafforest Johnson and one of his friends that he made from jail, and she claimed he admitted to the crime and bragged about it. That was the key evidence that prosecutors used to connect Tafforest Johnson to the crime, and that is how they secured a conviction. There's no physical evidence. No forensic evidence. He had a solid alibi of being at a nightclub across town when this murder took place.
But during your investigation, you found Violet Ellison not only got paid for her testimony in this case, but she was a witness in several other cases, like she just floats around town and witnesses and overhears murders happening.
Right. We found in our investigation that this was not a one-off. For Violet Ellison, that she had served as a state's witness in four other criminal cases, which is really extraordinary. You know, it's a big deal for a person to get caught up as a witness in one case, maybe two, but five over a period of 5 to 10 years is really extraordinary. We looked into her background and found that what people who know her, including immediate family members, shared with us was diametrically opposed to the narrative that the state used in order to convince the jury that Violet Ellison should be believed. They presented her as a woman who really had nothing to gain from coming forward. She was a concerned mother, and her conscience was bothering her because of this alleged confession that she overheard. What we found is that Violet Ellison had several different reasons to get involved in criminal cases. First and foremost, to pursue reward money, which she obtained after her testimony against DeForest Johnson. But also, she has a son who's been wrapped up in the criminal justice system, has been in and out of jail since 1980. And sources told us she would try to curry favor for him in exchange for working with police on cases. So there was just a whole lot more to the story about her possible motivations for coming forward than the one that the jury was told when DeForest was convicted.
And jurors talked to you in hindsight saying if they had known this information, they might not have voted to convict.
Absolutely. In 2019, that first court hearing that I covered, the information about this secret reward payment came out when the state finally admitted that it had paid Violet Ellison. The state's official story was that the paperwork connected to the reward payment was misfiled. But anyway, they finally admitted they paid her. Once that hit the news that the key witness in this capital murder case had been paid behind closed doors, unbeknownst to anyone else involved in the case, several previous jurors saw that media coverage and really their minds were blown. They just couldn't believe that they weren't aware that there was any kind of money on the table. And I've interviewed three of them. One of them, listeners can hear in the podcast, a woman named Monique, who feels great remorse for her role in DeForest Johnson's conviction, and says if they would have known that Violet Ellison could be paid for her testimony, it absolutely would have changed the way she voted in the deliberations.
Our guest is Beth Shelburne. She is the host and investigative reporter on the podcast Ear Witness, about the 1995 murder of a sheriff deputy in Alabama, who the person that was convicted is still on death row, and we'll get to that in a moment. But I cannot leave this without talking about Tony Richardson. The lead detective on this case has to be one of the most infuriating members of law enforcement I have ever heard, and I listen to a lot of true crime podcasts and shows. He agreed to an interview with you, but the things that come out of this man's mouth, saying that police these days would never dare coerce a witness.
If we had been coercing her and pressuring her, and I'm sure that happens or has happened in the past, let's say that happened in the early 1800s, okay? Nobody in the modern age does that. Anyway, let's say that she was pressured and coerced. Did she tell things that she couldn't have known that unless she was there? Yes.
Like what?
Well, like for instance, the scenario about how it happened. The scenario about how the deputy came out of the back of the hotel. We know the deputy came out of the back of the hotel. We're not telling her this. She came in and told us.
But that was in the newspaper.
No.
It was in the newspaper. It was also on the news the morning of his death.
We are at the back door of the Crown Sterling Suites, where 49-year-old William Hardy was found shot twice in the head.
Telling these teenage kids that they're either a witness or a defendant.
You can either be a witness or you can be a defendant.
You know, you can either be a witness or you can be a defendant.
You can only be either a witness or you can be a defendant, okay? It's your choice.
Then throwing one of them in jail for telling the truth.
What if the person is neither a witness nor a defendant in the case, though?
Well, sometimes you say that trying to determine if they're a witness or a defendant, you know, particularly if you don't know. And if they continue to maintain, I know nothing, at some point I'm going to say, okay, I got you.
But for LaTanya, there was never an okay, I got you from investigators. Even though she explains she doesn't know anything about the crime, detectives follow through with their threat and make her a defendant.
And finally, saying that if Hardy had been shot in his pajamas in bed, the detective would have gone through his life with a fine-tooth comb, but the fact that he was killed on duty means it must be drug dealers that murdered him. Just absurd statements. Beth, what were you thinking when you were interviewing this guy?
It was truly one of the most difficult interviews I've ever done. The first time I sat down with Tony Richardson, he talked for 5 hours, and I was trying to strike a balance of holding him accountable and calling him out on things that I knew were factually incorrect, while also keeping him there in the chair to keep talking, because like you said, the things that were coming out of his mouth were truly astonishing. And it's just rare that you hear a career law enforcement officer say all the quiet parts out loud like that. I don't think that he's representative of everyone in law enforcement, but I do.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer. How laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Welcome back to At Your Service. Good Tuesday evening. I'm Scott Jagow. We are talking with Beth Shelburne. She is the host and lead investigator of this podcast called Ear Witness. It's about a man who is on death row in Alabama. He's been there for 25 years for a murder of a sheriff's deputy. He did not commit the crime. The only thing that convicted him was the testimony of a woman named Violet Ellison, who it turns out was paid for her testimony and has been a professional witness during her life. So, Beth, tell me about Violet Ellison.
Violet Ellison is called an ear witness because the testimony that she provided was about something she claims she overheard. An ear witness is like an eyewitness, but they hear something. Typically, a witness claiming to overhear someone saying something is not admissible. It's considered hearsay. Unless that witness claims to overhear a confession to a crime. And that's what Violet Ellison claimed, that she eavesdropped on a three-way phone call between Tafforest Johnson and one of his friends that he made from jail. And she claimed he admitted to the crime and bragged about it. That was the key evidence that prosecutors used to connect Tafforest Johnson to the crime. And that is how they secured a conviction. There's no physical evidence, no forensic evidence. He had a solid alibi of being at a nightclub across town when this murder took place.
But during your investigation, you found Violet Ellison not only got paid for her testimony in this case, but she was a witness in several other cases, like she just floats around town and witnesses and overhears murders happening.
Right. We found in our investigation that this was not a one-off for Violet Ellison, that she had served as a state's witness in four other criminal cases, which is really extraordinary. It's a big deal for a person to get caught up as a witness in one case, maybe two, but five. over a period of 5 to 10 years is really extraordinary. We looked into her background and found that what people who know her, including immediate family members, shared with us was diametrically opposed to the narrative that the state used in order to convince the jury that Violet Ellison should be believed. They presented her as a woman who really had nothing to gain from coming forward. She was a concerned mother, and her conscience was bothering her because of this alleged confession that she overheard. What we found is that Violet Ellison had several different reasons to get involved in criminal cases. First and foremost, to pursue reward money, which she obtained after her testimony against DeForest Johnson. But also, she has a son who's been wrapped up in the criminal justice system, has been in and out of jail since 1980, and sources told us she would try to curry favor for him in exchange for working with police on cases. So there was just a whole lot more to the story about her possible motivations for coming forward than the one that the jury was told when DeForest was convicted.
And jurors talked to you in hindsight saying if they had known this information, they might not have voted to convict.
Absolutely. In 2019, that first court hearing that I covered, the information about this secret reward payment came out when the state finally admitted that it had paid Violet Ellison. The state's official story was that the paperwork connected to the reward payment was misfiled. But anyway, they finally admitted they'd paid her. Once that hit the news that the key witness in this capital murder case had been paid behind closed doors, unbeknownst to anyone else involved in the case, several previous jurors saw that media coverage and really their minds were blown. They just couldn't believe that. They weren't aware that there was any kind of money on the table. And I've interviewed three of them. One of them, listeners can hear in the podcast, a woman named Monique, who feels great remorse for her role in DeForest Johnson's conviction, and says if they would have known that Violet Ellison could be paid for her testimony, it absolutely would have changed the way she voted in the deliberations.
Our guest is Beth Shelburne. She is the host and investigative reporter on the podcast Ear Witness about the 1995 murder of a sheriff deputy in Alabama who the person that was convicted is still on death row. And we'll get to that in a moment. But I cannot leave this without talking about Tony Richardson. The lead detective on this case has to be one of the most infuriating members of law enforcement I have ever heard, and I listen to a lot of true crime podcasts and shows. He agreed to an interview with you, but the things that come out of this man's mouth, saying that police these days would never dare coerce a witness.
If we had been coercing her and pressuring her, and I'm sure that happens or has happened in the past, let's say that happened in the early 1800s, okay? Nobody in the modern age does that. Anyway, let's say that she was pressured and coerced. Did she tell things that she couldn't have known that unless she was there? Yes.
Like what?
Well, like for instance, the scenario about how it happened. The scenario about how the deputy came out of the back of the hotel. We know the deputy came out of the back of the hotel. We're not telling her this. She came in and told us.
But that was in the newspaper.
No.
It was in the newspaper. It was also on the news the morning of his death.
We are at the back door of the Crown Sterling Suites where 49-year-old William Hardy was found shot twice in the head.
Telling these teenage kids that they're either a witness or a defendant.
You can either be a witness or you can be a defendant.
You know, you can either be a witness or you can be a defendant.
You can only be either a witness or you can be a defendant, okay? It's your choice.
Then throwing one of them in jail for telling the truth.
What if the person is neither a witness nor a defendant in the case, though?
Well, sometimes you say that trying to determine if they're a witness or a defendant, you know, particularly if you don't know. And if they continue to maintain, I know nothing, at some point I'm going to say, okay, I got you.
But for LaTanya, there was never an, okay, I got you, from investigators. Even though she explains she doesn't know anything about the crime, detectives follow through with their threat and make her a defendant.
And finally, saying that if Hardy had been shot in his pajamas in bed, the detective would have gone through his life with a fine-tooth comb, but the fact that he was killed on duty means it must be drug dealers that murdered him. Just absurd statements. Beth, what were you thinking when you were interviewing this guy?
It was truly one of the most difficult interviews I've ever done. The first time I sat down with Tony Richardson, he talked for 5 hours, and I was trying to strike a balance of holding him accountable and calling him out on things that I knew were factually incorrect, while also keeping him there in the chair to keep talking. Because like you said, the things that were coming out of his mouth were truly astonishing. And it's just rare that you hear a career law enforcement officer say all the quiet parts out loud like that. I don't think that he's representative of everyone in law enforcement, but I do think that he gives us a look into the mind of a career homicide detective who worked through the 1970s through the early 2000s. So he rode the big tough on crime wave, lock them up, throw away the key, that kind of mindset that led to mass incarceration, where their marching orders were to get convictions. A lot of the things that he said were offensive or outrageous, but I wanted him to keep talking. So I really felt like I'd been beat up after that interview was over.
I can only imagine, and I appreciate your perspective on it. That was the one question I was like, I've got to ask her about this. I find him to be a clownish character, to be honest, but there's nothing funny about it, because I could argue the domino effect of his approach to this case ruined multiple people's lives.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it would be a comedy if the story wasn't so sad and if the stakes were not so high in this work that he was doing throughout the decades investigating murder cases throughout Jefferson County, where Birmingham is, Alabama's largest city. But, you know, as a journalist, part of your job, I think, is to try to get people to talk to you, even when the people are outrageous or you don't agree with them. And we decided in the making of the podcast, instead of me telling listeners every time something that Tony Richardson said was absurd or outrageous, we were just going to let listeners get there on their own. And he kind of hung himself out, you know, on his own. He didn't really need me to spoon feed listeners and tell them, can you get a load of this guy? Can you believe this? So we just sort of let him speak unfettered. And it sounds like it had the right effect on you.
Yeah.
That's what we were going for. We wanted people to feel as outraged as I felt after the interview.
And I did. And I was screaming at my phone the whole time from the very get-go when he started talking. And I appreciate your approach to that, because it's respect to the listener. Yes, we would figure it out. And you did a great job with that. Does he still believe DeForest is guilty of this crime?
You know, it was very hard to pin him down on that. Unlike Jeff Wallace, the original prosecutor, who does support a new trial for DeForest, which is absolutely unprecedented, Tony Richardson would not go that far. He did admit to us regrets and mistakes that he made. He admitted to us that he felt rushed in this investigation, that he regretted the way that he treated Yolanda Chambers. Of course, he said that about 6 hours into my interviews with him. That wasn't the first thing that came out of his mouth when I sat down with him. When I repeatedly tried to pin him down on where he stands now, knowing everything that's known about this case, does he still stand by the conviction? The closest I could get to a clear answer was him saying, am I 100% sure that DeForest Johnson did this? No, I'm not. But he wouldn't go any farther than that.
Beth Shelburne, the host and investigative reporter on the podcast Ear Witness. It just came out recently. I'm going to take a deep breath right here because after listening to Tony Richardson again, I'm having a hard time. We're going to talk about the criminal justice system as we wrap up with Beth Shelburne coming up on At Your Service, KMOX. Our guest on At Your Service on KMOX is Beth Shelburne, host of the podcast Ear Witness, about DeForest Johnson, a man who's been on death row in Alabama for 25 years for a murder he did not commit. The question is, why is he still on death row, Beth?
But what we have is a really unprecedented situation where we have a local district attorney, Danny Carr, who has called for a new trial with the support of the original prosecutor. But we also have our state's attorney general, who represents the state of Alabama against DeForest Johnson and any other person unlucky enough to end up on Alabama's death row. And our attorney general, Steve Marshall, has called this call for a new trial a subjective opinion and is continuing to pursue DeForest's execution.
Yeah, that's just clearly and plainly obtuse on his part. But it's not the first time a prosecutor or an attorney general has taken a stance like that. Probably hasn't even read the case, in my opinion. This one reminds me a little bit of the Curtis Flowers case featured on In the Dark. An innocent man was subjected to 6 trials, 4 death sentences, 23 years in prison. But in that case, the U.S. Supreme Court heard it, and the prosecutor was found to have rigged juries by race. Flowers was finally set free. Here, the U.S. Supreme Court just recently decided not to hear the DeForest Johnson case. Why do you think?
That's a good question. They, grant cert to very few cases that come before them. And so I think that obviously, DeForest and his legal team had hope that the highest court would take a look at the case, but it wasn't shocking that they turned it down because they turn most cases down. He still has a number of appeals in state and federal court, but he's been on death row for 25 years, and that's a long time. And so he doesn't have all the time in the world. That's the reason that we wanted to put this podcast out in such a comprehensive way, because unfortunately, the legal avenues to overturn a conviction like this become narrower and narrower the longer a person is locked up. And I think that's something that we encounter in this series and kind of push up against is the limitations of our justice system in self-correcting. His attorneys are attacking his case from very granular, nuanced issues. You can't file a claim in court saying this person's innocent. It's literally not a legal argument that you can make in a death penalty case once somebody's convicted. So that's kind of the situation that we're in right now, where he has incredible support for his innocence, except from the one office, Alabama's attorney general, that can truly make a difference.
And if they were to have a new trial in this case, there would be no case. The prosecution would have nothing based on all the things that you found and people coming forward. Because Violet Ellison would be deemed not credible. That's what they hung their hat on during the trial. So there couldn't really be a victory by the state in this case in the second time.
Well, and it's when you've got these very serious convictions that are built on purely circumstantial evidence, sometimes that evidence can change. And we see it over and over again in wrongful convictions where a witness recants, or somebody admits to lying or being pressured, or some new detail comes up And it totally changes the understanding that we have of the evidence that was used to convict the person. So Jeff Wallace, the original prosecutor, who we also interviewed for hours for this podcast, told me that he believes the evidence has changed in this case. His understanding of Violet Ellison is different now that we shared with him everything that we discovered, but it's out of his hands. You know, he says, I'm a retired prosecutor. What I say has no teeth. I can't, like, you know, get somebody back in court because I feel differently about the evidence used to convict them 25 years ago. And that's one of the limitations of our system.
Yeah, you used the phrase, or you quoted the phrase from in front of the courthouse, bondage to the law, and that that people are in their own silos in the justice system, and they can't seem to break out of those silos to do the commonsensical thing when all of the evidence points to something else than what was originally decided. Common sense just does not enter into the justice system. So let me ask you, Beth, as we wrap up here, what is the main thing that you learned about the justice system along the way?
Oh, man. A lot of things shocked me about this case. I think the lengths that the state will go to secure a conviction, and the unbelievable power the state has to convince a jury that someone is guilty on the flimsiest of facts or evidence. That's astonishing to me. The three jurors that I interviewed, none of them could really put their finger on what it was that convinced them beyond a reasonable doubt that this man committed capital murder and deserved to die for the crime, other than believing Violet Ellison. I think it speaks to the deference that most people have to the state and to law enforcement. Maybe that's changing now. Maybe it's a little different than it was in the late 90s. But the power that the state has to just dispose of a person is really terrifying.
It is definitely frightening. And one of the themes that you see with these cases that end up being wrongful convictions is ear witnesses, eyewitnesses, and then jail snitches. And all of those things have turned out to be just, they're just so unreliable. And the justice system has in the past relied far too much, put way too much weight on those things.
Well, I've had a lot of people say to me in some form or another, if we are going to give our government the power to kill its citizens for crimes that they've been convicted of, we better make damn well sure that they are 100% guilty before we let the state kill them. And right now, we can't say that for sure because of the rate of exonerations and because you can get convicted of capital murder based on circumstantial evidence. DeForest Johnson was convicted based on the testimony of one woman who claimed that she overheard him talk about the crime. That's it.
I have listened to a lot of different cases, read about a lot of different cases, and most of the time, I have some lingering doubt in the back of my mind. Well, is this person actually innocent or not? I got to tell you, I have 0.0% on this one. And it's very rare that I have that. I just cannot see it any other way. There's just too much overwhelming evidence. But yet this man sits on death row. Beth, how do you think this story is going to end in your heart of hearts?
Gosh, I mean, I wish I could say that it's going to have a favorable outcome for DeForest. And that is, you know, what I'm trying to manifest. And that's what I keep in my prayers and my hopes, and hope that this podcast will help illuminate the truth and push his eventual release forward. But I live in Alabama in the Deep South. We have the highest rate of death row sentences per capita in the nation. We have a long history of persecuting people of color, particularly Black men and women. And, you know, I just can't say that the state that I live in and I'm from has a great track record here. So I'm forcing myself to remain hopeful and to remain positive, but at this point, it could really go either way. And the truth is, DeForest Johnson is running out of time.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate. But the work that you've put in and your colleagues is highly valued by people, myself, and I'm sure a lot of other listeners. And I know that you mentioned that there are people in the legal community who are jumping on board this case to see if there can be pressure put on, because if there's any person that deserves to be not in prison, it is DeForest Johnson. Beth Shelburne, the podcast is called Ear Witness. Be sure to check it out. Thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate it.
And I appreciate you listening to At Your Service. I'm Scott Jagow. Have a great evening. Our guest on At Your Service on KMOX is Beth Shelburne, host of the podcast Ear Witness, about DeForest Johnson, a man who's been on death row in Alabama for 25 years for a murder he did not commit. The question is, why is he still on death row, Beth?
But what we have is a really unprecedented situation where we have a local district attorney, Danny Carr, who has called for a new trial with the support of the original prosecutor. But we also have our state's attorney general, who represents the state of Alabama against DeForest Johnson and any other person unlucky enough to end up on Alabama's death row. And our attorney general, Steve Marshall, has called this call for a new trial a subjective opinion and is continuing to pursue DeForest's execution.
Yeah, that's just clearly and plainly obtuse on his part. But it's not the first time a prosecutor or an attorney general has taken a stance like that. Probably hasn't even read the case, in my opinion. This one reminds me a little bit of the Curtis Flowers case, featured on In the Dark. An innocent man was subjected to 6 trials, 4 death sentences, 23 years in prison. But in that case, the U.S. Supreme Court heard it, and the prosecutor was found to have rigged juries by race. Flowers was finally set free. Here, the U.S. Supreme Court just recently decided not to hear the DeForest Johnson case. Why do you think?
That's a good question. They, grant cert to very few cases that come before them. And so I think that obviously DeForest and his legal team had hope that the highest court would take a look at the case, but it wasn't shocking that they turned it down because they turn most cases down. He still has a number of appeals in state and federal court, but he's been on death row for 25 years, and that's a long time, and so he doesn't have all the time in the world. That's the reason that we wanted to put this podcast out in such a comprehensive way, because unfortunately, you know, the legal avenues to overturn a conviction like this become narrower and narrower the longer a person is locked up. And I think that's something that we encounter in this series and kind of push up against, is the limitations of our justice system in self-correcting. You know, his attorneys are attacking his case from very granular, nuanced issues. You can't file a claim in court saying this person's innocent. It's literally not a legal argument that you can make in a death penalty case once somebody's convicted. So that's kind of the situation that we're in right now, where he has incredible support for his innocence, except from the one office, Alabama's attorney general, that can truly make a difference.
And if they were to have a new trial in this case, there would be no case. The prosecution would have nothing based on all the things that you found and people coming forward, because Violet Ellison would be deemed not credible. That's what they hung their hat on during the trial. So there couldn't really be a victory by the state in this case in the second time.
Well, and it's when you've got these very serious convictions that are built on purely circumstantial evidence, sometimes that evidence can change. And we see it over and over again in wrongful convictions, where a witness recants or somebody admits to lying or being pressured, or, you know, some new detail comes up and it totally changes the understanding that we have of the evidence that was used to convict the person. So Jeff Wallace, the original prosecutor, who we also interviewed for hours for this podcast, told me that he believes the evidence has changed in this case. His understanding of Violet Ellison is different now that we shared with him everything that we discovered, but it's out of his hands. You know, he says, I'm a retired prosecutor. What I say has no teeth. I can't, like, you know, get somebody back in court because I feel differently about the evidence used to convict them 25 years ago. And that's one of the limitations of our system.
Yeah, you used the phrase, or you quoted the phrase from in front of the courthouse, bondage to the law, and that that people are in their own silos in the justice system, and they can't seem to break out of those silos to do the commonsensical thing when all of the evidence points to something else than what was originally decided. Common sense just does not enter into the justice system. So let me ask you, Beth, as we wrap up here, what is the main thing that you learned about the justice system along the way?
Oh, man. A lot of things shocked me about this case. I think the lengths that the state will go to secure a conviction, and the unbelievable power the state has to convince a jury that someone is guilty on the flimsiest of facts or evidence. That's astonishing to me. The three jurors that I interviewed, none of them could really put their finger on what it was that convinced them beyond a reasonable doubt that this man committed capital murder and deserved to die for the crime, other than believing Violet Ellison. I think it speaks to the deference that most people have to the state and to law enforcement. Maybe that's changing now. Maybe it's a little different than it was in the late 90s. But the power that the state has to just dispose of a person is really terrifying.
It is definitely frightening. And one of the themes that you see with these cases that end up being wrongful convictions is ear witnesses, eyewitnesses, and then jail snitches. And all of those things have turned out to be just, they're just so unreliable. And the justice system has in the past relied far too much, put way too much weight on those things.
Well, I've had a lot of people say to me in some form or another, if we are going to give our government the power to kill its citizens for crimes that they've been convicted of, we better make damn well sure that they are 100% guilty before we let the state kill them. And right now, we can't say that for sure because of the rate of exonerations and because you can get convicted of capital murder based on circumstantial evidence. Tofores Johnson was convicted based on the testimony of one woman who claimed that she overheard him talk about the crime. That's it.
I have listened to a lot of different cases, read about a lot of different cases, and most of the time, I have some lingering doubt in the back of my mind. Well, is this person actually innocent or not? I got to tell you, I have 0.0% on this one, and it's very rare that I have that. I just cannot see it any other way. There's just too much overwhelming evidence, but yet this man sits on death row. Beth, how do you think this story is going to end in your heart of hearts?
Gosh, I mean, I wish I could say that it's going to have a favorable outcome for Tofores. And that is, you know, what I'm trying to manifest. And that's what I keep in my prayers and my hopes, and hope that this podcast will help illuminate the truth and push his eventual release forward. But I live in Alabama in the Deep South. We have the highest rate of death row sentences per capita in the nation. We have a long history of persecuting people of color, particularly black men and women. And, you know, I just can't say that the state that I live in and I'm from has a great track record here. So I'm forcing myself to remain hopeful and to remain positive. But at this point, it could really go either way. And the truth is, DeForest Johnson is running out of time.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate. But the work that you've put in and your colleagues is highly valued by people, myself, and I'm sure a lot of other listeners. And I know that you mentioned that there are people in the legal community who are jumping on board this case to see if there can be pressure put on, because if there's any person that deserves to be not in prison, it is DeForest Johnson. Beth Shelburne, the podcast is called Ear Witness. Be sure to check it out. Thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate it.
And I appreciate you listening to At Your Service. I'm Scott Jagow. Have a great evening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.